Blog Talk Radio.
JoeDanMedia.com.
I'm a little late on the uptake here. I just got off with, you guessed it, our best buddies, the BTR Techs. Mm-hmm. Come to the show, open up everything, fine and dandy. And I have no chat room. So I went to the helpline while the opening theme was playing, and I got a very, very, very lovely tech supporter. And she set the chat room right for me, so I can see everybody. I've got Bigfoot and Jeff and Holger and Lady Michelle so far filing in. Thank you so much, guys. Yeah. While I was doing all that, I didn't have a chance to go to my other screen and get my drop-down menu and the topic of which I want to speak about. And, by the way, welcome to the Red Fox Blogger with your host, Kel Fritzy. Oh, yeah, Bigfoot, it sure was. Blog Talk Radio was hell on wheels last night for all the radio host. It was just dire. I was getting login errors. I could not visit my favorite shows. I was trying to go to Ken McClintock's show. I was trying to go to East Anglian's show. I was trying to listen to, Gotti Edelman. My goodness. He had such nightmares. I sent him a Facebook message on his Facebook page with Ack the Cat. Seriously. It was that bad. It was really bad. The chat rooms were getting dropped. People couldn't get into the chat rooms. People could not hear the audio. The radio hosts in mid-sentence were getting dropped from their programs. It was very, very nasty. But at least BTR tonight, they seem to help me out. But boy, oh boy, if I drop on you guys, believe me, it is no fault of my own. It's going to be Blog Talk Radio. So Blog Talk Radio, arg, quit advertising all over the bloody place. Do you guys notice when you go to, say, your favorite news daily, you see the ad, advertise or be your own radio host. And there they are, Blog Talk Radio. Call 999-444-1919 today, now. Well, okay. All very well and good. They've got money. They can advertise. And I'm very happy for Blog Talk Radio because I do have a healthy respect for them allowing me to have my forum. However, if you're going to have an influx of people coming into your forum, you have to make sure that everything is all tickety-boo, that you can handle the traffic, Blog Talk Radio. It's just a suggestion. Make sure your servers are up to date. Make sure your hard drives are up to date. We have people calling in on a radio show from all over the planet. I have listeners as far away as China at this point. And if they cannot access via Skype or if they cannot access the chat room to listen, then I am no good to them. And we have radio hosts outside of the United States. For example, East Anglian's EDL radio show. Last spring, Blog Talk Radio caused Jeff Mitchell so much grief. He was phoning in from England on his landline. It cost him a pretty penny. So Blog Talk Radio, please, will you please get this straightened out? Because it really is a headache. We pay to be here. We pay because we have big mouths and big voices and big things to share. And we want to continue doing that. But if you keep messing us around, we're going to have to find another forum. And I'm just told that Lady Michelle lost sound. I am going back into the studio. I am still recording. I'm still on the air. Lady Michelle, you're a brat. Oh, gosh. I don't know what to tell you. Actually, you know what? Maybe she's not. It would appear that people are losing sound. Okay. You know what? Blog Talk Radio, my audience, they're losing the audio. I don't know what you can do about that. I know it's Friday evening and the weekend is upon us and the weather is supposed to be nice and if some of your techs are up here in Canada, we're embarking on a long weekend. But, I'm losing all my people out of my chat room because they're all trying to refresh to get the sound back. And this is throwing me off my game. I have my ducks in a row. When I come on the air, I have everything right in front of me. I'm ready to go pretty much. But when I look into my chat room and I see people leaving because they're trying to refresh their pages and frantically trying to get back in, it throws the radio host off their game because my utmost importance is that of my listeners and of those in my chat room. Seeing them leaving and trying to refresh and not being able to get back in the chat room, it is unbelievably frustrating to the radio host. It also does throw off the show. So Blog Talk Radio, I thank you for your assistance tonight in allowing me to access my chat room. But like I say, this is of no use to my listeners. When they come here, they take time out of their day to be here to listen to the ravings of a mad fox. When they cannot hear me, then I'm useless to them. It's not because of me that I want to do the best I can. It's because of them who want to listen to what I have to say. And now my entire listening audience is gone because they cannot hear me. They are all trying to refresh their page, Block Talk Radio. I wonder if I'm even on the air. Yeah, I am. I'm still recording. I'm still here. It's frustrating, though. It's frustrating. Ladies and gentlemen, I implore you that I deeply apologize to my live listeners for this. However, to my archive listeners, you will have no problem listening to the program in full, unfettered by technical glitches. But my live listeners, they take their time, like I say, they take their time out to be here, and this is what they see. This is what happened to me last night, trying to get into the East Anglian CDL radio show. I could not get into the chat room. It kept telling me that there is an error entry. I went to Ken McClintock's The Exceptional Conservative. Same thing. I got into the chat room and lost the audio. Finally had to give up. I was at Gaddy Edelman's American Akbar last night. Gaddy was losing his audio, and I was kicked out of the chat room. This is supposed to be my time to enjoy the programs of which I go out of my way to listen to, because I really enjoy these particular radio hosts. The experience last night left me bereft, and it left me very disappointed. Fortunately, I was able to listen to the shows in archive later on, all three of them proper, but it was not the same, because I love being at the shows live, because I enjoy the chat room. I hook up with some wonderful people there. I have made very wonderful friends over here at Blog Talk Radio. So I really love the chat room. If I cannot access the chat room, it's just not the same some days. And plus, too, the information sharing that goes on in the chat rooms is unbelievably helpful to me. People have links and they have stories that they share. It's very hard to not be there when they're not there. So Blog Talk Radio, please try to figure that one out. And I'm just saying hello to Nine. Hi, Nine. And Nine is all alone right now. And if Nine, if you can hear me, we're having issues with the chat room and we're having issues with the audio. So that's where everybody is. They're all gone off trying to refresh their pages, and they may not get back in. They might get an entry error. So right now, Nine, it's just you and me, baby. I'll see what I can do. I don't know. This is nuts. Like I say, it's Friday evening. I don't know Block Talk Radio will be able to take care of it at this point. I really don't know. But I have to carry on. Otherwise, I'm just going to totally frustrate myself and get totally mad. And I got Lady Michelle back. Oh, yay. Now, okay, come on, Jeff Holger. Where are you guys? Come on. Get back here. Come on. All right. You know what? A comedy of errors or what, eh? I am telling you, it is what it is, but I don't know what to do about it, except to say that this is pretty much, you know, standard procedure of the last 2 days with Block Talk Radio, you know?
Yeah.
And it's very frustrating. I do want to talk to you, though, why I'm here, and tell you what I do, and that is discuss the issues of Islam. I have a few topics on the burner right now that I think you might find of interest. I want to share these two particular stories. They come out of Canada. I have noticed that I am growing a very large listenership base out of Canada. So I want to be inclusive to everybody. Like I say, I do have listeners from all over the world. My sweetheart is the United States, though, because I have learned more from the Block Talk radio host out of the United States than I have anywhere else. So I really am thankful for that. But you know what? When it comes to Islam, we know it's global. We know it's an issue globally. We have two stories out here this week. One comes from Calgary, Alberta, and one comes from Toronto, Ontario. This one particular imam, his name is Jamil Hamad. He says that Islam will be the biggest demographic in Canada. He says that Muslims will be the majority in Canada. That's right. This is actually from a couple of weeks back. But like I say, his name is Imam Jamil Hamad, and he is a senior imam of the Calgary Muslim community and affiliated with the Muslim Council of Calgary, and that is the MCC. He was a keynote speaker at a fundraising event in July. It was held at the Al Hedia Islamic Center there in Calgary. Now, in his speech, Imam Jamil Hamad, he stressed the importance of donating monies for expanding the Islamic religious, educational, and communal institutions in order to strengthen the Muslim local community as part of the Islamic nation worldwide. And I have some excerpts from his speech, and I will get to that in a minute. But one thing in particular that he said: we have reason to get together and to love each other and go paint our future, especially in country like this. And that is him speaking. That is not me, my bad grammar. Especially in country like this. As minority, Muslims are a minority in this country. Canada, and God willing, in the future they will be, God willing. So far, we are a minority. So when we get together, this kind of jihad is a way. Our jihad, our struggling, our jihad, our striving in the path of Allah is our prayer, building the mosques, building the schools, building the Islamic institutions so we can keep the community together. Yeah, that's right. That is the lovely little imam, Jamil Hamad, here in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. He is telling people, come on, you got to pay up. You got to pay the SECAT. Pay the SECAT. Yep. Come on, we got to build up our Islamist communities. We're working on that caliphate, ladies and gentlemen. Get your monies together. Let's get it going. Mm-hmm. In Canada. Exactly. We listen to the radio programs coming out of England when they discuss what is happening there in Europe. We hear them. We know them. We know the situation over there in Europe. We listen to the East Anglian CDL radio show. We listen to what Jeff has to tell us. We have to start paying attention because it is now happening in North America. I did my show last week discussing the issues of Islamists wanting their children or their little minions, their minion adherents to the religion of hate, excused from Friday afternoon classes to attend their Jumping Juma Freaky Friday mosque. This is what they're doing. I discussed that intently on my Monday afternoon program. If you want to go back and archive and listen to that, please do, because it was enlightening, and I hope I reached out to a few parents. It's happening in North America, And this is happening up here in Canada as well. We have these espousers of hate, like Jamil Hamad, telling his brethren, beef up, you know, get the sackett rolling. We need monies. We need to beef up Islam in Canada because we want to be the majority in Canada one day. God willing, in the future, they will be, God willing, a majority. He goes on to say, we are the biggest nation together. Your nation is one nation. The nation is one nation. There is no difference between any nationality, any color, any language. It's one nation. And people are jealous of us because of our numbers, because of our quantity, because of our quality. And we want, God willing, to improve our quality so we can achieve more goals in the future. Yeah, that was his mission statement. That took place in July, and that took place in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. I have a real kicker for you in a few minutes. This is from another imam. He's a Sheikh Faisal Hamad Abdur Razak. He's from Toronto, Ontario. I'll share that one with you in a moment. But I want to check on my chat room and see if people can hear me. Like I say, it has been a comedy of errors for all of the radio hosts this week. And so far, it seems people can, but I still have people refreshing, it looks like. I will keep an eye out for that, but gosh, guys, I really am sorry for the technical glitches on the end of a Block Talk Radio. They have technicians working on it as we speak. However, it is affecting the program itself, and it is not a very positive experience for you who came out of your way to visit me on my humble little show here, the Red Fox Blogger. Hopefully, it will carry on. Hopefully, I won't get cut off. But you know what? It is what it is. I might go to another radio station. And I'm not kidding. I was actually... Block Talk Radio, take note. I was offered another job with pay. It's not terrestrial, but it is another radio show. That is NPR. I submitted a query into how to launch a show there, and they sent me a very, very, very lengthy email, and I responded, and I sent them an audio clip, and they came back, and they said, wow, we really like what you do, and we like the approach to your topics, and we have interviews coming up at the end of the month. We would like you to be part of that, and then they sent me the criteria. And unfortunately, I had to decline because there was one criteria that I would fall short of, and that is my studio. As you guys know, I have been talking about my studio issues for a little bit now. I still have to get some parts together here, and I just don't feel confident that I could do a studio taping and submit it for archive play on this particular radio station once a week for an hour. I mean, I could do it. I mean, I would love to do it. Boy, oh boy, because, hey, can I have more than 60 minutes, please? But it's just my audio. I'm worried about my Audacity, and I'm worried about my microphone, and I'm worried about my switchboard and things like that. So I'm getting that in order. I'm getting my ducks lined up here. But I may do that probably, maybe, hopefully within 3 months. I will be on board with another network, and I will actually get paid for it. So once I get all, like I say, all the ducks in a row, I'll certainly let you know. But one thing I'm not going to do, I'm not going to leave my Block Talk Radio family. If you listen to me down the road, I might do an hour where I taped out of NPR or something, play that, but I will still be interactive. I will simply extend the show so I can still have my peeps call in or have comments. If they have comments, I can address them live. Like I say, though, I'll keep you apprised of that. And I know that I have totally been thrown off my show. No, thank you, Blog Talk Radio, to you. I just love the way things roll around here, though. That's another thing. I love doing live radio because I engage in all sorts of fupas, malapropisms, mispronunciations, and you guys get it all, warts and all. That's part of the challenge I have in doing a live radio show. It's kind of a buzz for me. I know, like when I screw up, you guys know it and you catch it. I was what is it? A couple of weeks ago, I was trying to say the Sandman, and I kept coming up with Dust Fairy. I couldn't sleep, so I was saying the Dust Fairy wouldn't come to me. And somebody in my chat room said, "It's the Sandman, Kel." See, that's what I mean. This is why I love doing live radio. Oh, and what did I do on Monday? It wouldn't be a week without Kel engaging in some sort of mispronunciation or not being able to say a word or entirely slipping a word in that is inappropriately not applicable. I was talking about why when you see me in the chat room, it says Red Fox Blogger with Kel, right? It used to say Red Fox Blogger of IAW, and people were wondering why I changed that. And I said, well, I was getting some feedback about the IAW part. They were thinking I was pro-Palestinian, and I was like, what? Well, that's the same acronym for Israeli Apartheid Week, right? IAW, Israeli Apartheid Week. Well, you guys know it stands for Infidels Are Watching. Well, I got a few comments along that line, and I changed it right away. However, on Monday, when I was explaining that, what did I say? I said, Islamic Apartheid Week. Yeah, that's your Kel. That's okay, though. I corrected it. All the same, this is a part and parcel of live radio and why I like doing it. So NPR, it would be interesting, but it would be very polished because, of course, I would be in the studio and I would be able to do the editing and take this back, replace it with this, lay the tracks. I really do have actually a really good track system here. It's just my microphone and my switchboard. And my Zenix 502, I have to figure all of that stuff out. So until then, you're stuck with me doing live radio, warts and all. Okay, I'm going to pop back in the chat and see how everybody's doing. Oh, okay, it seems like people can hear me, and I've got people in the chat room, more people joining, so that is absolutely fantastic. So great. Oh, good. I got Doc here, and Vorp has joined us. That's Green Dog. Oh, I got Bigfoot back. Oh, right on. I got Jeff of East Anglians back. I got Holger back. I've got a guest in there. Yay. Okay. So I'm just saying hello, typing with one hand. I'm just glad to see that everybody is here and that everybody can hear me. Now, where was I now? Yes, I was talking about the imams in Canada. They are the imams gone wild. This imam, Jamil Hamed, who's a senior imam. I didn't know they had senior imams, by the way. I suppose they do. But he is very much determined, you know, for the Muslims to all get together. He wants them to raise more money so that they can build more schools and, of course, build more mosques. And as we know them, they are jihad training centers. But, yeah, this Jamil Hamed out of Calgary, he's determined that Muslims will be the majority in Canada one day. And I got a picture of him. Of him up there in the slides above the show highlights. So if you go up there, He's the one wearing that pretty little white cap with the, it looks like roses around his neck or something. Yeah. Yeah, this guy, he's wearing the white cap, the white knitted cap. If you're a Muslim, you're not permitted to wear that white knitted cap unless you have made the trek to Mecca. Mm-hmm. So this guy, he's made the trip to Mecca. He's also obviously not a Canadian because, like I was saying, I was quoting him, his English is obviously not his first language. Let me reiterate what he said. We have reason to get together and to love each other and to go paint and to paint our future, especially in country like this as minority. Muslims are minority in this country. So, yeah, English, not a strong suit. However, he's determined that Muslims will be the dominant in Canada one day, God willing. Aloha Akbar. So, that is our little friend there, Jabil Hamad. I have another story out of Canada, and I have a sound clip to go with this because this is just unreal. We have another little imam friend here, and what's his name? Yeah, I rhymed it off there a few minutes back. That's Sheikh Faisal Hamad Abdul Razik. He comes out of Toronto, Ontario. He says death to sinners. And he also says that stoning an adulterer or a gay person is actually good for them. Yes, because it cleanses their soul. That's the religious message that this guy is espousing on YouTube. And yeah, this dude, he has his own YouTube channel. God. He says homosexuals and adulterers, you'd be better off being stoned because it cleanses your soul. You know what? I listen to way too much Tom Trento because he just laughs through these stories too. The thing is, though, if you didn't laugh, what would you do? You drive yourself into a ground of insanity if you just didn't take these goofballs and just throw it back on their faces and call them for the fools that they are. But yeah, Oh, I love saying his name too. Where is it? Sheikh Faisal Hamad Abdul Razik. Now, he has a YouTube channel, and this one particular video caught the attention of Sun Media. Unreal. He explains that a Muslim who is sentenced to death by stoning under Sharia law actually benefits from this gruesome punishment as his or her soul is being purified even as the stones rain down on their sinful head. You know what? It's got to be. I'm thinking, I'm reading this, and I'm going, okay, where's Monty Python? Hello? We got a script here. But you know what? He's dead serious. And this is in Canada. This isn't some jihadist recruiting site over there in the Middle East. No. This is in Canada. And, of course, we know it's happening in the United States and England and other Western quarters. These imams, they get up there on their soapbox in these mosques, and this is what they espouse. This is what they teach. This is what they teach our children. Is it any wonder that generation after generation after generation is raised to believe that they are the purified peoples and that we are the dhimmis and that we are the infidels? Is it any wonder? I talked to you on Monday about Islamic attitudes. Here we go again. Islamic attitudes dictating to us that this should be done in our very own backyards. I have the clip here. I'm going to see if I can. I'm going to bring it up and let you guys. Well, listen to the reporter. This is from Simon Kent of the Toronto Sun. And it's Brampton Muslim cleric preaches adulterous gays, how they can benefit from being stoned to death. I'm going to put the link in the chat room for you guys. But meanwhile, take a listen, okay? I'll be right back.
Okay. Bye. Come on.
Got myself a pop-up. Oh, wonder what the pop-up is. All-wheel drive. You guys want to buy an all-wheel drive car? Okay, it's the Dodge Journey. Okay, here we are.
Brampton Ontario Imam is justifying the Islamic law of stoning to death. He says that Muslims who are sentenced to death by stoning actually benefit from this capital punishment. Let's get to Alex Gunn for an explanation on that. Alexandra.
Yeah, some shocking news coming out of Ontario today, Pat. We are learning of a Brampton, Ontario, so this is happening here in Canada, sheikh, who is also serving as the president of the Islamic Forum of Canada, has come forward with some shocking words. He also serves as the vice president for the Islamic Council of Imams in Canada, and now he's justifying the stoning of sinners to death. Now, the sheikh says that sinners actually benefit from this capital punishment as their soul is being purified by this very act. This sermon that we're looking at right now, Abdur Razak is basically addressing his congregation, explaining here that a Muslim who is sentenced to death by stoning will actually benefit. Take a listen to what he had to say.
But there's something else. There's something else that this stoning does for the believer. For Iblis, for Shaitan, it's rejecting him and rejecting his attempt to influence us. But for the believer, there's an important benefit.
So the ultimate benefit here, Pat, is that his soul is purified. And ultimately what we're hearing now is this Canadian Muslim cleric believes that not only can adulterers as well as homosexuals can be benefiting from stoning, but it purifies their soul as well. So this is what we're hearing out of Ontario this morning. Ultimately, critics are likely going to be weighing in on this issue and this ideology, and some are going to likely wonder whether or not this sort of message will have a negative influence on Canadians. So I'm going to be tracking that sort of reaction and getting some more reaction from Canadians as well this morning, Pat.
Yeah, it's surprising this whole thing is happening right here. Alex, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, I just like that groovy closing out music. You know, it's so powerful. Da, 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 da. I put the link in the chat room for you, and like I say, you can find it. This is courtesy of the Toronto Sun, and of course, you just Google them, and Google Brampton Muslim cleric preaches adulterers gays can benefit from being stoned to death. Of course, it will pop right up. Yeah, I know. And you know what? Michelle, she's right. Is anyone surprised that this crap is happening? And no, we shouldn't be. And Shianne walked into my chat room. Welcome, Shianne. Welcome to the show. No, it's certainly happening here. That is one thing for sure. Right under our noses. I have said to you, I've been saying this for well over a year, that we have to stop something right now. We are on the losing side, ladies and gentlemen, because we're afraid. Yeah. We're on the losing side because we are afraid. But you know what? They believe. They believe. Oh, Sherry. I said she in. Holder's adjusting my glasses. I'm sorry, Sherry. Oh, well, Sherry, I hope you have a good time here, and welcome. Here, I'm going to, there we go. No, we are afraid. Technically, we are afraid, but they believe in what they espouse. They believe in what they share in their mosques. They believe what they share in their madrasas. And they believe in a caliphate. They are stronger than us because they have faith in this belief system, this warped belief system of theirs. And we're too afraid to confront it. Not me and not you, certainly not my listeners. I always say, I have very smart listeners. I have very smart people out there. We're all working as a team to bring to you what Islam is. But the masses are afraid. Our politicians are afraid. Now, I ask you, how can this go unfettered in Canada, in particular, because that is my example tonight? How can this sort of speech go unfettered, unchallenged? How is it that this imam cannot be brought forth and taken to task for what he is saying to his congregation? Sheikh Faisal Hamid Abdul Razik, and I have a picture of him up there above the show notes. Yeah, he's the one. He's got the sour look on his face. Yeah, the first one you see is Jamil Hamad. Second one is our little friend Faisal. Yeah, two imams practicing their religion. Well, not religion. Their Islamic hatred. One saying that Canada will be a Muslim majority. The other one saying that adulterers and gays benefit from being stoned because it purifies them. This worries me because these are not isolated examples per se. I am sharing with you two prime examples, but they're not isolated by any means. People within the Islamic dogma believe this. They go into those mosques in Canada, the United States, England, wherever. They listen to this and they believe it. They believe it. Do you know, I'm going back a few years, but in 2010, there was a Pew Research. Now, I'm not too big on the Pew Research Center out of Washington because I don't know. They seem to be a little screwy sometimes with the polls, but this one in particular kind of struck me, and I think I can take this one with a grain of salt. Oh, hang on. Ah, that's better. Now, they took a poll of Middle Eastern countries, and they tapped into their views of modern life. Now, according to their results, at least three-quarters of Muslims in Egypt and Pakistan say they would favor making each of the following the law in their countries. That includes stoning people who commit adultery, whipping and cutting off of hands for crimes like theft and robbery, and the death penalty for those who lead the Muslim religion cult. Now, majorities of Muslims in Jordan and Nigeria, they also favored these harsh punishments. These are majorities. Now, at this point, none, of course, will be subscribed or proscribed in Canada, nor the United States, nor England, nor anywhere else at this point. However, we're rooting for England. Because according to this article, Canada is a free, open, and tolerant society that will never become a theocracy where common law is subjugated to religious dogma. How long do you think that is going to last? It is funny. I was in another chat room the other day. I think it was at Eliza Jane's place, MP91 Freedom Quest. And she noticed that I was in her chat room, and she was discussing the issues of Islam, of course, because she's part of the Radio Jihad Network family. She was talking about one article in particular about what was going on in Florida. I believe that had to do with Ahmed Badir. She noticed me in her chat. Well, she always notices me because I'm her sweetheart. Just kidding, Eliza. We all are. But she said, well, Kel's in Canada. Are they going to fight these laws? Are they going to do that? And so I said that, well, under our Constitution, I don't think it would happen. I cannot see it happening because we do have the Constitution. And Holger was there, and he said that very, very insightful. However, what's to say the Constitution cannot be rectified with a Muslim majority? And you know what? He was right. What's to say they cannot adjust our Constitution? What's to say the Constitution is malleable? If they want, they can amend it. This is another reason why we have to pay attention at the grassroots level, right here and right now. I have given you two prime examples of what is being preached the madrasas, of course, but what is being preached in the mosque in particular. I have given you an example from Jamil Hamad of Calgary, Alberta, and Sheikh Faisal Hamad Abdur Razik of Toronto, Ontario. They are preaching this in the mosque, and they're getting away with it. And you read things that come from the Pew Research Center in Washington. The majority of Muslims in Egypt, in Pakistan, Jordan, Nigeria, they believe in Sharia law. These are the people that we are exporting into our countries. These are the people that come here and they go to the mosque. Do you know these mosques? I know in the United States, a lot of times the imams are imported from Saudi Arabia and area within, imported to teach this. A lot of these imams, they follow the doctrines too of Salafism. That is one of the harshest doctrines of Islam. So they come here and they go to these mosques and they preach, and they're preaching underneath the doctrine of Salafism. We cannot have that. But I'm going to a break in a few minutes. I've been talking nonstop, and of course Blog Talk Radio, you know, totally threw me off my game. So if I don't sound up to par, well, that's just usual, Kel. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm not. But I am due for a break. However, I do want to share with you. I want you folks to be around your computers on September 7th at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. We have a summit coming up via Holger Awakens right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know what? I have the promo. I will let the promo speak for itself and explain to you right now.
On Saturday, September 7th, at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as we near the 12th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks on America by Islamic jihadis, the Awakening Show on Blog Talk Radio will discuss Islam as never before heard on Blog Talk Radio. That evening, the war on Islam will begin. This is no war on terror. This is no war on a few radicals. This is war on Islam itself. Join Holger Awakens on Saturday, September 7th, as he remembers 9/11 and speaks to the vengeance still owed to the American people, and more importantly, as the war on Islam begins, the way it should be declared and the way it should be waged. Islam, Galenta.
So mark your calendars, ladies and gentlemen. That is on Saturday, September 7th, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, with Holger and a panel discussing the issues of Islam. And believe me, the gloves will be coming off. I am now going to take a little bit of a break, I'm more than halfway through the show now, and I want to give everybody a chance to get up, get a refreshment. Friday night, maybe you're enjoying a cocktail, or maybe you want to refresh your tea. I just want to play a little song. For those new to my show, that's what I usually do halfway through the show. I'll just play a little song so that people can do that. Get up, get a tea, or take a bathroom break, or whatever. And I'm going to do that right now. And thanks a lot, Block Talk Radio. You really did throw me off my game tonight. I have more ums in my show than I think I have adjectives, nouns, verbs, and anything else. I'm taking a break. I'll see you guys back here in 3 minutes. With your host, Cal Fritzy. I just got a message from Jim. He was going to join me in the second portion of the show, and he cannot get through. He sent me an email, and he's going to keep trying. I wanted to talk about what's going on in Syria. I really do not want to tackle that one alone. Jim, of course, is, as you know, he is a great contributor to this program. He usually joins me maybe once a month every Friday. And he was very, very eager to discuss the topic of Syria, and as am I. However, he's having problems getting through, and I have shared with you that Blog Talk Radio, they're having problems with the switchboard, they're having problems with radio hosts calling into their own programs, and they're having problems with guests calling in as well. Hopefully, Jim can join me. That's okay. You know what? I cannot believe I'm pretty much down to the last 20 minutes of my talking time anyway. I've been going on, took my break late because I was trying to get the chat room open. No thanks to Blog Talk Radio, and I'm paying for this, so Blog Talk Radio, I'm going to say anything I want about you except to say you really do have a great support team, and they do work in earnest. I know Blog Talk Radio does not want this to happen to the radio host, and they don't want to ruin your listening experience. So I do appreciate that they are working hard. However, what you should do, Blog Talk Radio, like I say, quit advertising all over the bloody place and concentrate on your servers and your hard drives for us who are already here. Okay? I came across this the other day, and this is from my friend Merrill. She posted this on her page in Facebook, and I was reading it, and I was like, what on earth is this? You guys probably might want to sit down for this, because I find this absolutely astounding. I put the link in the chat room for you, and for those who listen in archive, it's also on my blog, and that's redfoxblogger.blogspot.com. So you can check it out there. I posted it yesterday, in fact, so you won't have to scroll down too far for it. But I was reading this, and I'm like, what on earth is this? This is the Israel Debating League. They're heading home from this year's European Universities Debating Championship in Manchester. The annual Euros tournament, it brings together hundreds of students from across Europe to argue about 30 issues for which they have only 15 minutes to prepare. So that's interesting. You got to have a quick mind, guys. Now this year, over 200 teams, they battled over the motion. This house believes that Israel should allow members of the Jewish diaspora to vote in its elections. And I'm, what? Okay. What is that? So I continued reading it, and Carrie and Guns joined me in the chat room. Joined us all in the chat room. Carrie and Guns, hi back to you. So I'm reading this. Apparently, it's become a tradition to hold a debate about Israel at Euros. Now, this is the third in as many years, guys. As such, the championship, it's become a fascinating place to see what the students of today and the leaders of tomorrow think about the Jewish state. Well, you will not believe. You will not believe. Here, I'm saying hi to Carrying Guns. Sorry. Don't mind me. Hey, you know what? Blog Talk Radio threw me off bad enough tonight. Yeah. It's become a tradition to hold a debate about Israel at the Euros, these European University Debating Championships in Manchester, England. Now, this article tells you that before you read on, you should know that the vast majority of debaters at Euros, they're very conscientious, they're very friendly, they're highly intelligent young people. They tackle debates with knowledge and sensitivities, but there are others that do not. And this year, of course, they did no such thing. Many of the debaters' mistakes were, well, they're kind of harmless little mistakes, but there were there were a few whoppers in there. And Holger's got to leave. Holger, thank you very much for joining me tonight. Have a good night, honey. Have a good weekend. We'll see you definitely on the 7th. Yeah, there are some few whoppers that came across. For example, did you know that all diaspora Jews are Orthodox and that American Jews live in closed communities and feel no connection to Israel? Do you know that Iran is home to the world's largest Jewish community outside of Israel? If you didn't, you'd be surprised to know that there are three types of Jews in the world. Those who live in Israel, those who want to live in Israel but can't, and those who want their children to live in Israel. Okay? Well, I had a bit of an issue with that one. Of course, you want to visit your holy land and pay a visit, but I don't really... I don't know about this one. Iran is home to the world's largest Jewish community outside of Israel. I thought that was Canada. So I'm not too sure about that. They are so full of it. There are so many misconceptions. Some are so bizarre you will not believe it. Israel is the most tribal society in the world. It has 7 tribes. Okay, that one we'll have to look into. And Vorp is saying that Jews that live in Manhattan. Thanks, Vorp. Okay. There are sinister assertions towards Jews, and this was shared at this Eero debate fest. It's asserted that the Israeli people are irrational and want to kill people. Israelis cannot be trusted with their own democracy. The extremist government won't apologize for Mav Marmara. Israel has no right to sovereignty since it can't survive without foreign aid. Laugh out loud. That's why the Jewish diaspora should be able to vote in Israel to keep the place in check. This should work because, as we have heard in another room, Jews are more loyal to Israel than their own countries anyway. Okay, that makes no sense whatsoever. First of all, Israel really doesn't concentrate on foreign aid. Israel is probably the most productive country in the Middle East, so I don't know where this is coming from, like I say, though. I labeled the article, guess who's behind this, and let me move down, and I will share with you, because I think you're figuring it out as I'm going along. Now, there was one particularly shocking case. A Russian team blamed the Jews for the Holocaust. Apparently, the Jews funded Hitler's campaign and then ran off to the U.S., so they share responsibility for the Holocaust. The debaters in question later apologized. They didn't mean that all Jews caused the Holocaust, only American Jews. I'm not alone because this does not make sense. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind you, this is a debating team of the so-called enlightened taking place in Europe. When members of the Israeli delegation told the Kosovo counterparts that they had stayed in Manchester for a few days before the tournament, their competitors responded with a comment about rich Jews. Yeah, because they came over a few days early, maybe to get settled in their hotel rooms, maybe take in a few sights, and then head off to the Euro debate. But, yeah, they came a few days early, so they must have money. So, yeah, they're rich Jews. Oh, then the Israelis, they clarified that they had, in fact, stayed in a hostel. The response quickly turned to stingy Jews. God. You know, there is much in the world an obsession. It's very unhealthy. It's very unhealthy. It's an unhealthy obsession with Israel. And the debating world is no different. Israel found its way into virtually every debate, no matter what the motion was. Gosh. Video games make people violent. They're the reason that Israeli soldiers are so aggressive in Gaza. I am not kidding you guys. I have it in my blog, and I have the links going back to the original source, and I put the link in the chat room. You have got to check this out for yourself. This is unreal. Yeah. Video games make people violent, and they're the reason that Israeli soldiers are so aggressive in Gaza. Now, they go on to say the Muslim Brotherhood's biggest anxiety is not Al-Qaeda in the Sinai or Hamas in Gaza, but Israel, which wants to conquer the whole of Egypt. Mm-hmm. Foreign aid budgets should be approved by referendum because governments cannot be trusted to allocate money responsibly. Just look at how the U.S. gives Israel foreign aid in order to oppress the Palestinians. Okay, stop, full stop, stop that, producer. Well, you know, that's what Mark Levin would say. Okay, producer, pause. They are not Palestinians. They're fail-estinians. Palestinians are the gypsies of the Middle East. Even Jordan doesn't want them. Palestinians are the nomads. They make jokes about how Israel roamed around for 40 years before finding their homeland. Well, the Palestinians say that they stole that. No, they didn't. It's dictated that that land, indeed, the state of Israel is what it is. It belongs in the right hands. Palestinians have no claim over any land. Palestinians are nomads. Palestinians are the scourge in the Middle East at this point in my eyes. Like I say, they've been kicked out of everywhere. Jordan sure didn't want them. They're Arabs. They're nomadic. They're Arabic. They are what they are, but they certainly do not have any claim over any part of the state of Israel. But they go on to say that foreign aid budgets should be approved by referendum because governments cannot be trusted to allocate money responsibly. And just look, like I say, at how the U.S. gives Israel foreign aid in order to oppress the poor Palestinians. Now, China does not need fear. International criticism of its support for North Korea. After all, Israel slaughters Palestinians on a daily basis and nobody blames America. Oh, gosh. It's all here, guys. I'm reading it to you. You know, this is what was being spouted at this debate. And it was all heard by just one judge, by the way. And it's in a competition of more than 200 teams. Now, none of these debates, they had nothing to do with Israel until the debaters decided that everything boils down to Israel in the end. Now, at last year's championship in Belgrade, we learned that Ehud Barak was the president of Syria and that Israel is guilty of genocide in the West Bank, where it might consider dropping a nuclear bomb. Debating a demilitarized Palestinian state, one Israeli debater mentioned post-war Germany as an example of demilitarization. She was met with sardonic response, and it was curious that the Israeli debaters should try to draw an analogy to Nazi Germany. And, you know, whatever that's supposed to mean, I'm telling you. But this is what went on. Yep. This is, where did I say? Yeah, the Israeli Debating League, part of the European University's Debating Championship this month in England. I have somebody here, and his hand is raised. I'm going to bring him on right now. Hopefully he's going to save my life. Like I say, thanks, BTR. Totally thrown off my game tonight, but here we go.
Good
Hello.
Evening, Kel.
Good
yeah. evening.
How are
Hi,
you?
Hi, I'm not too bad. I know you had a few issues earlier. I think we all have over the last 24 hours. You're still doing all right, Kel. Don't seem like you panic or pulling your hair out. And I've been listening to... Well, when I could, because I basically tried to refresh the page and it totally lost it, and then I couldn't get back on. But in the end, I did. I'd like to just call in and just say a great show as usual. And just like a professional girl, just let the show roll.
Oh, I am telling you. The open... Oh, Jeff. Boy, oh, boy. What a comedy of errors everybody was experiencing yesterday. I mean, I was
there
trying to get to
was.
Your show, and I would go in, I would go to the chat room, and I would get nothing but a big blue screen, and it would say...
Yeah, same as me.
Yeah, entry...
The technicians
yeah.
was working on it. That's the...
Yeah,
Tommy
that's
let
what
me
I was
know.
Getting. Yeah, that's what I was getting, and I was getting very frustrated, and it's like, oh, my goodness, what... So I thought, well, you know what?
Don't blog talk, Kel. Don't worry.
I'm going to NPR. That's it.
Kel, you know the thing about it is it's a good testing ground, isn't it, for us all, you know, as radio hosts. It's how you make sure that you keep control, whatever the situation is thrown at you. And you do feel like pulling your hair out sometimes, but... I just think, right, go and make a cup of tea, Jeff. Come back, sort it.
Yep, it'll sort it out. It'll get together. Yeah. We hope
it
and
we and
pray.
And as I say tonight, I was so, the thing I was expecting the same, I thought, I hope they fixed it. And as soon, I went on quite early, opened the chat room up quite early, and bang, I was there. I thought, thank goodness for that. Because Tommy was relaxed, because it's so embarrassing when you've got people in the chat and they couldn't chat amongst themselves as well. So Tommy's saying, well, just Twitter me or Facebook me and then we'll, I'll relay what we're saying. So it's, you know, at least we got things rolling and the show went along. But it was just, you feel handicapped slightly, don't you, when you haven't got your chat room. You know, I'm so used to it. And, of course, you feed off his chat room as well at the same time, don't you? You know, you're discussing and people were making comments and then you make comments on what people were saying. You know, you just roll with it. But, no, you've got, once again,
oh,
Kel, you've had a
no
few...
kidding.
You've had a few problems, but... So, you know, I think we've all experienced it ourselves over the time since I've been with Blog Talk Radio. But it, we get by. It just, we know how to tone ourselves now to the situation. We expect it. When it goes without problems, Kel, after a while, we think, something's wrong here. We're not getting these errors coming up.
And ladies and gentlemen, just to let you know, Jeff Mitchell of the East Anglian's EDL radio show is on the line with me. And Jeff is one of my very best friends in the whole wide world. And when I feel frustrated or angry or upset about something, I Skype him. I say, Jeff, what am I doing? Jeff!
And I say, chill out, Kel. We're all right. It's radio. When things are live, things go wrong. Guarantee it. It's just, you just got to go with the flow, you know. But great show as usual. I mean, some what you was talking about, like, Imam, the crazy, it can only happen in Islam. Oh, it's okay to stone someone. You know, they'll be cleansed in paradise. Yeah, it doesn't matter about the pain and... You know,
I don't think our
listeners, Kel, don't really understand the severity of a stoning. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't mind me, Kel, I'd just like to say, you know, I've watched a few stoning, you know, there was a young girl, actually, she was 17, was stoned to death by her uncles. This wasn't just a normal stone. These were throwing rocks on large objects. And this poor young girl, and pretty little young girl, was, you know, she was butchered, really. And did you know, sometimes, guys, when they talk about stones, don't think it's over and done with, like that they throw stones and they're dead. No.
Mm.
Sometimes, you know, these stones can go on for about 2 hours. There has been some cases where they actually go up for 2 hours. So the person who, don't forget, a lot of these women are stoned, have got their arms down by the waist. They can't put their hands up to protect themselves when these stones are raining in them. And sometimes it takes such a long time for them to die. And this
oh,
is
absolutely.
What they want to produce in our free countries. They want to introduce this Sharia law.
We're not going to allow that to happen. Absolutely no way.
Girl. I like to think we live in a civilized world where things like that, which shouldn't be happening in the 21st century, acting like barbarians, is because that is the way they treat one another. Like, it's disgraceful. It's just, what can you say? I suppose it's because we do come from, well, family values. The things that most of us get brought up with, when you see these things, it's so alien, isn't it? It's alien, and you think, how can people be as they are? But it's just Islam. You know, I've got to say this. The Muslims, you know, when we talk about Muslims, they say, oh, you know, because I'm English eventually, oh, you hate Muslims, you're racist, this, that, and that. And do you know what I say to them? It's nothing about Muslims themselves. I hate Islam because the Muslims are the first victims of Islam.
Well, do you want to hear something very interesting? I've been watching some YouTube documentaries from the United West, and you know the United West, that's Tom Trento, right?
Yeah,
and I've been listening. He posts a lot of really good documentaries on the United West channel on YouTube, and I had seen this about a year ago, and I decided that I'm going to watch it again. It's about an hour and a half long, and it's what you need to know about Islam, and it has Walid Shobat on there. It has Robert Spencer on there. It has all sorts of scholars on there, and I decided I'm going to watch this again, but this time I'm going to take some notes. And so I had it open on one screen. I had my Word open on another screen, and I decided to take some notes. And one thing that I really found fascinating, the documentary, folks, if you're interested, it's called Islam, What the West Needs to Know. And actually, Liberty GP, and that's Paul Weston, Liberty GP, GB,
yes.
My apologies. Paul Weston, he initially posted that, and Tom Trento of the United West reposted it.
Brilliant.
One thing that Muslims are working towards is a race back to the 7th century, Jeff. Just watching this video and listening to the scholars speak and how they explain the hadiths and the sirahs and how they explain the Quran, Jeff. One thing I didn't realize is that the Quran, it's not in chronological order. I did not know that.
No. No, it's not. People seem to be under the misconception that if they pick up the Quran, they're going to read it and they're going to get the feel of what the book. But, ladies and gentlemen, if you look at it, you will notice things are not right there. Things should be where they are in another place in the book. But no, in Islam, everything's around the wrong way. you've got to study that. No wonder they have to go, these people go and talk, have imams talk to them. Because if you read the Quran, you just, it's so jumbly gook, whatever you want to call it. Just something I just wanted to say, Kel. Green Dog Vulp we've got in the chat rooms. It's made me laugh, and I almost started chuckling.
I'm reading it.
Finishing this sentence. I'm not an Islamophobe. You're an infidel phobe. And I like that. I'm like you, Sam, myself. Thank you.
I get half my best one-liners that make total sense from Vorp. I truly do.
No,
Vorp says
brilliant.
Things in the chat room sometimes, and I have my pen and pad right in front of me, and I'm scribbling them down. Credit to Vorp.
Brilliant. I
but
like
it,
that,
it's
yeah.
True.
I'm not
like,
an Islamophobe. You're an infidelphobe. I really like that.
I'm Islamo-fed up. There we go.
There you go, Islamo-fed up. I think we all are, aren't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I think we are. And you know, I'm so sick and tired of hearing the argument that, well, you don't speak high Arabic, so therefore you cannot understand the Quran. Well, you know what? Neither do you. Like 90% of Muslims do not speak Arabic anyway. They don't understand the high Arabic.
No.
And
it's
they don't understand
thinking,
how the abrogations take place. Yeah.
Exactly.
Like they don't
it's
understand.
Hypocrites.
Yeah. And they go with the term coined by Sayyid Khatib, he coined this term in the 1960s, the religion of peace. And people say, well, we are the religion of peace. But what Sayyid Qutb actually meant was it will be a religion of peace when the world caliphate is accomplished.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, Kel, you know that they call themselves a religion of peace. I don't know how many times. I'll tell you what, Kel, and to your listeners, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how many times I've asked a Muslim, what is the peace in Islam? Tell me about the religion of peace. Tell me what's so peaceful about it. I've never had one. To be quite honest, now I'm not going to lie, because Kel knows me, I don't lie.
Nope.
I think I had one person over many, many years. Now, don't forget, I've been involved with the anti-jihadist movement for many, many years. And I think I had one person say, well, if you want the honest truth, there's only going to be peace when there's just Islam, when there's no other faith. And that's exactly the what. And everybody else says, you start saying, well, what's the peace? Well, let's come to say they want to move around. They want to dance around that point. And you will always win a debate. Certain things like that, you will always win because they don't know how to answer it. Because, as they all know, that as you said, it will only end when there's the caliphate, when Islam rules the world. There's no other faiths around. So, a lot of people seem to be under misconception. It's when you look into it, you realise that Islam is a lie built upon a lie. And the bigger the lie, the better in Islam. There's been certain scholars have said that as well. Ex-Muslims said that. The bigger the lie, the better. If you can lie good, then you're going to be a politician. Look at David Cameron. In the end, he couldn't fool the public.
David Cameron must be having conniption fits, and he must be stamping his tiny little feet in the corner going, nah, 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 because the parliament said, no, we're not going into Syria.
I know, it's just not that. It wasn't just I think parliament gauged the people's feelings. 75% of the British public didn't want it. 75%. And
oh,
it's
absolutely.
Quite obvious that reflected that in Parliament, that, even though they've caused a lot of troubles, so that Cameron's going to end up sacking about 20 or 30 rebels.
Oh, absolutely.
Rebels. It's going to
happen.
And
you know what? Now that we're on the topic of Syria,
yeah,
or they're close to it, guess who managed to get through, Jeff? Jim managed to get through.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Hey, Jim.
Good evening, infidels.
How are you, Jim?
Good evening, Jim.
Not bad, and you?
Oh, my goodness. Jeff and I, we were discussing the issue of Syria, and I know that you were having problems calling in. I got a message from Block Talk Radio saying that they're having issues with the switchboard and they're having trouble with radio hosts calling into their shows and radio hosts having their guests call in. Jim, it's been a real mess here the last 2 days. But
I can imagine.
I am so glad you made it in.
Yeah, because
how are you,
everywhere.
My dear friend?
I'm not bad. I heard Jeff talking about like the religion of peace. Well, I went to military.com, okay? And when you go to military.com, go to the shock and awe. And they, you know how the terrorists, the radicals, they like to film themselves.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
They pulled
oh, yes.
Three guys out of trucks. And they asked me in English subtitles, are you Shia, Sunni? And they says, no, they're Alawites. Well, I never seen a head explode. They put so many rounds of ammunition in this one guy's head, and then they assassinated the other. They executed the other two. They were all kneeling down, and they showed somebody. They didn't say if they were good guys. Well, there's no good guys over there, but they were putting together a sarin bomb. They put it into a howitzer and they fired it off. They did two of them, and they're going Allahu Akbar and all this.
Yeah.
And, and I'm saying to myself, John McCain, he wants to back the moderates over there. Well, the key question is, are there moderates over there? And if the moderates should win, are they strong enough to hold off the bad guys? And will the Syrian army turn on the moderates and help with the Al-Qaeda and everybody else that's running loose over there?
I'll be quite honest with you, Jim and Kel. I do believe that if any military strike happens in Syria, I do believe all hell's going to let loose. I really do believe. I believe that Syria will attack Israel, which will bring Israel into the conflict. I do believe it could be. And don't forget, we got the Russians sitting in the background, and they're moving all their bits in place as well. So,
Russians and China too, I believe they walked out of the UN summit there yesterday, didn't they?
I can't figure out is what is a handful of cruise missiles going to do?
Mm.
Because let's put it this way: everybody got on George Bush, the cowboy. Well, he went in and he had support of the world. I mean, I'm talking George Bush Sr. now.
Yes.
He had support. Yes, now, Jr., he kind of messed things up. But in between that time frame, Saddam Hussein became friends again with Syria because the Syrians, they fought with George Bush the first when they went into Iraq. And people have a short memory.
Yeah.
They were moving the chemicals at night into the Bekaa Valley, which is controlled by Hezbollah, who in turn is backed by Syria. So who's going to go in there?
I agree. I knew that was the case. I mean, when it currently there was a document that said that they'd already moved it before anybody got involved in the country. Any sort of anybody got involved, it's already been shipped out. In fact, Do you remember, Jim and you, Kel? Do you remember they said there was two of these big liners that's drifting away, and they didn't know who they was. I believe, I don't know about you, but I do believe there's probably some WMDs that was on board these liners. All of a sudden, big ships like that disappeared. There was two of them out there, and they disappeared. It was just weird that it just happened like that. But things like that. But at the same time, you just knew that he had plenty of time to move all these WMDs out of the country. He knew he had there was a time frame, and he knew that the coalition was going to come in soon. So quickly, okay, we'll do it in the middle of the night. We'll move things around, and when they come here, they might be just traced, but they can't pinpoint it that there was anything, munitions there, or anything like that that they was doing. But you see, what's come down to it, Jim, you know, I look at it this way. Obama said last year he said it, there's a fine line to cross if they use chemicals. Now, there's been 14 attacks since then, at least 14 chemical attacks.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, though, how many red lines does Obama have? Here, cross the line. I was listening to Gaddy Edelman last night, and he played a clip from Bugs Bunny, and he was challenging, I can't remember who his nemesis was, but here, cross this line. Okay, no, cross this line. Okay,
yep,
cross
right, okay,
this line
yep.
now. Okay, cross this line now.
I think that was
now.
With Yosemite Sam.
Yosemite Sam, that's who it was.
Yeah. I'm dating myself. But, you know what's funny? You know, well, it's not funny. But when I went to military.com and I was looking at some of the videos, there's a TV internet out there called RTV.
Oh,
and
okay.
They had one of their reporters filming some stuff, and they believe it was chemical, components from Saudi Arabia that were being used allegedly by the rebels. I have that on my Facebook page, but it's also, like I said, it's also on military.com. I mean, I only could watch a couple of those videos because, you know, the bottom line is no matter who wins, we lose. England loses, America loses, Canada loses because once this cowboy down there goes off and starts firing off cruise missiles, not only will he drag in Israel, what I'm afraid of is the ones that have crossed our, and people think I'm paranoid, the ones that have crossed our southern border. that are in America today.
We got these splinter groups. As we know, we got these sleeper cells all over the place, you know, sort of being ready to, you know, they get the word right. You know, they've been going about their business. I know that's what you mean, Jim, isn't it? All of a sudden, before you know it, you've got explosions going off here, there, and every bloody where.
Now, if you remember the Boston Marathon bombing, two guys who were really ill-prepared didn't really have a plan. Their plan was just to cause mass mayhem and kill as many as they could. But look what happened. It took, I don't know how many hundreds and hundreds of cops to track them down. They shut down a city. Now, you get some of these diaper heads that have come across the border and over the years that align like a fifth column like they did in Finland when the Finns were fighting the Russians. I mean, how much havoc are they going to wreak? Because, what is it, earlier this year here in Massachusetts, we have a reservoir called the Quabbin Reservoir. That's where we get our drinking water in Massachusetts. Okay?
Yes.
They caught
You
three,
had an incident there, yeah.
Yes, that's what I'm leading up to. They caught three of them. Thankfully, you know, they were engineers, and one was a chemical student. Oh, we just wanted to see what it looks like. Yeah, at night, midnight, when nobody else is around.
I remember that story,
on
Jim.
On Forbidden. Yeah, and that was restricted area.
And after that, not another word was ever said about them. If they went to court, you know, for trespassing, because that's basically all they could get them on, nobody knows anything after that.
No.
They were probably nicely shipped out of the country. They were probably here on student visas. Jim.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia.
Probably Saudi Arabia,
you know.
Yeah, and they were dispatched back to Saudi Arabia to their gold-plated Mercedes-Benz, of course.
Yep.
Yeah, probably right, Kel. That's what we see. But, as I say, talking about Syria, I do believe Obama, see, what it is he's going to lose credibility because he said if they do that, this came back a while ago, there'd probably be, you know, some sort of military action. And they've actually, that's actually happened. Maybe, I don't know. I think there's going to be whatever, you know, Obama's planning and, you know, it's going to be like a bit of a shock and awe type of a scenario. Maybe that's it, but they say that could be just a quick strike, and that's just a warning. This is, you know, we can make it worse than that, like. But at the same time, I do believe there'll be a response from Syria. You know, there's got to be. You know, if you smack someone,
it's just crazy. I don't know if you had a chance, if you gentlemen had a chance to listen to John Kerry today when he was addressing the press corps, his 19-minute speech there, and he had a lot to say about that. And one thing that I can only conclude from that is now France is America's best friend. Like, even George W. Bush, when he went into Iraq, he had the backing of the U.N. and 40 nations. Barack Hussein Obama is getting absolutely no support whatsoever. Even England, a bitch, slapped him down, you know, to the chagrin of, you know, David Cameron. But
I could say
France and
Kel.
United States, they seem to be going it alone now.
Jim and Kel, I've got a smile because I said earlier, it's David Cameron basically had a kick up the backside, and I said and Obama's walking around today like he's got a ferret down the front of his trousers.
Well, you have to stop and think about this guy. Biden, when he was running for the nomination, you know, the first time around, Biden says, oh, yeah, when he gets in, there's – people are going to test him within the first 6 months. Well, nobody really did, like any world conflicts like we have now. I mean, you know, he's slowly getting us out of Afghanistan. Now it's hit the fan, and he doesn't know what to do. He has his people that are surrounding him. You got Power there. She's the new UN ambassador. She's alone. You got Valerie Jarrett. You got Rice. I mean, come on. I mean, these people – probably don't know. They don't know what it's like. I mean, they don't have any old wise men.
Mm-hmm.
They
no.
think they can handle it all, and they can't. Like I said, I mean, George Bush Sr., when he went into Iraq, he had 68 countries, including Syria, that went in.
Yeah.
And people
yeah.
forget that.
Yeah.
And now George Bush Jr., when he went in to, you know, take care of business, oh, there was no WMDs. And as I said before, and as you know, Jeff and Kel and people out there,
yeah.
they had enough time to move everything out of the country.
Exactly. Yeah.
And, you know, and people still refuse to believe that. But yet then, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinions. You know what they say about opinions? Everybody, you know, everybody's got an opinion, you know?
Yeah,
certain part of the anatomy, and it stinks. But, you know, and now this guy here, he's put himself into a corner. He can't get out of it.
No, he's got to do something. Because the way I look at it, I think he's going to pull the trigger. He's definitely going to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
But he still wants to do the talk. He wants to get... you know, he wants to get these inspectors back. He wants to get a full report, and then, you know, then he probably, I don't know, they'll strike Syria, whatever they're going to do. I haven't got any idea, but you know, I still think it's going to be bad. Whatever the situation, he's going to lose credibility. It looks bad for the country when you got a prime minister, a president. A prime minister is just as bad, basically. He wanted to go willy-nilly, didn't he? I thought myself, well, look, if you want to go there, David Cameron, if you want to go.
Oh, and I just want to interrupt. My listeners in the chat room, rather, they're losing sound again. Block Talk Radio.
Oh,
I have people that come here. They go out of their way to listen to the programs here on Block Talk Radio. They make time to be at their computer and listen to the rantings and ravings of a mad fox, and they're not getting sound, Block Talk Radio. I'm very disappointed in you, Block Talk Radio. Can you please get this sorted out? I don't know if the BTR gods are up there somewhere listening to the pleas of this little red fox, but look, I come here twice a week to do a program, and people go out of their way to listen to what I have to say, nonsensical as it can be some days, but all the same, these people come here to listen to me talk about the issues of Islam and other issues worldwide, and they cannot hear me now.
That's
I have
the problem.
People in my chat room who cannot hear me. A doc can't hear me. Green Dog cannot hear me. I've had people leave the room and try to get back in, only to be met with a message that says that a login unavailable. Blog Talk Radio, get this straightened out, because I'm really getting upset with this. I pay money to be here. I pay money out of pocket to be here. If I cannot do my program effectively, if I cannot bring the news to those who listen to me, I am not doing my job because you're not allowing me to. So Blog Talk Radio, get it sorted now.
Well, the problem is...
Sorry about that. I
problem
just had to get that out of my system.
I bet you if you went to the
Now, there's a lot
the
of
left.
People who were wondering about the Middle East. A lot of people are confused about the Middle East, Jim and Jeff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, and it would appear, I think I lost Jim and Jeff.
No, I'm still here.
Because
hear me?
I cannot hear Jim and Jeff. Jim?
Yeah, I'm here.
No, I cannot hear Jim. Jeff?
Kel?
I cannot hear Jeff.
Oh, dear.
Unbelievable. They're still on the line, but I cannot hear them.
Can you hear me, Jim?
Unreal.
Yeah, Jeff, I can hear you.
I wonder if they can hear me.
Dear.
Okay,
we can hear you, Kel.
This is turning into a bit of a nightmare because they're both on the line. They have not been dropped from the studio. I don't even know if you can hear me.
We can hear you if you can hear us.
But I've lost audio with my guest callers. I've lost audio with Jim, and I've lost audio with Jeff.
Oh, dear.
Okay.
Yeah, but,
well,
what's the NSA?
You know,
yeah,
I'm going to wrap up the show. I extended it. I'm pretty much out of time anyway. But for my listeners who are kind of confused about what's going on in the Middle East, It's very simple.
You hear me?
I'm going to give you a short guide to the Middle East. Iran is backing Assad. Gulf states are against Assad. Assad is against the Muslim Brotherhood. Muslim Brotherhood and Obama are against General Sisi. But Gulf states are pro-Sisi, which means they are against the Muslim Brotherhood. Iran is pro-Hamas, but Hamas is backing Muslim Brotherhood. Obama is backing Muslim Brotherhood, yet Hamas is against the U.S. Gulf states are pro-U.S., but Turkey is with Gulf states against Assad. Yet Turkey is pro-Muslim Brotherhood against General Sisi. And General Sisi is being backed by the Gulf states. So there you go. Welcome to the Middle East and have a nice day. Ta-da!
That was good.
And I got my gentleman back. Do I have you both back?
Oh, bless
you,
Kev.
Okay, great. Well, I like what General Sisi said the other day. We have, on my cable system, we have Jewish News 1. And through translation, he told the Coptic Christians that every church will be rebuilt that was destroyed. And I almost fell off my couch. You know what I'm saying? Son of a gun. I mean, here's a man of courage and conviction, because he basically said we're all Egyptians first before we're anything. But he come out right there because Jewish News 1 had it, and they translated it, and he says they're going to rebuild all the Coptic Christian churches that were destroyed by the Muslim Brotherhood.
Good grief.
Good grief.
Just goes to show you the way that the world can turn on a sixpence or an halfpenny, isn't it, Jimmy? It's totally confusing. Is that the word, confusing, what's going on? But maybe, I don't know, Islam is that they think, Dinajak, the guy, the president before, used to think, that if there's enough chaos in the world, then the 12th imam will come to the surface, sort of thing. You know, that's why they got these deep wells waiting for the imam to come out, and then it's going to lead the Islamic world against the rest of the free world. And it says that chaos has to reign in the world before this will happen. It's quite obvious. What we got happening now is chaos, isn't it? Through the Middle East and everything's topsy-turvy. We live in very, very, I don't know, what's the times? The time that we live in is very confusing.
It's the end times.
I think that we're I think that we're living in critical times right now.
That's the word, Kel.
With the advent of the internet and with what the world is witnessing and seeing, and we see it with our own eyes, and we read these books. Like, I have been perusing The Reliance of the Traveler, and that's the interpretation of the so-called Holy Quran, which, incidentally, ladies and gentlemen, Islam is not a religion. They have self-admitted that it is a political entity, and they established that when they invaded Mecca. But it's getting a pass as a religion, but don't believe that Islam is a religion. It is not. It is a political entity with political ambitions, and that, of course, as we know, is the world caliphate. But Jim and Jeff, they can't hide. They can't run. They can't hide. They can't hide behind the rocks. They can't hide underneath the trees, because we are onto them, and they know it. We have Islam on the defensive. And I agree with everybody who says that. Stay out of Syria. It's a civil war. It's turning into a sectarian war. Well, we know that. But just stay the hell out, because what good are we going to do? And I like what Vorp, he put in the chat room a little while back. He said that Martin Luther King had a dream, and Barack Hussein Obama, well, he has a drone.
Very good. As I say, it's very interesting, you know, when we discuss these things, because I think we're all concerned with what's going on, and the way the implications could escalate with, especially with, any military intervention going on in Syria at this moment in time, could draw other players, big players, get involved. And that's the worrying thing. It's... You know, it's say we live in critical times, and you make the right decision, the world pulls you. You make the wrong decision, the world will never forgive you. And that's the sort of times I think we live in. You've got to be spot on at that time, because things can change very quickly and could really go sour. And as I say, Israel could get dragged into this, and the whole of the Middle East region could be ablaze, couldn't it? Let's be honest. And then kick on from that, and, you know, different engagements with the big players could fall in place. And before you know it, we've got a massive world conflict, haven't we?
Yeah.
Well, I like to look at it this way, though, too. I mean, from a biblical standpoint, I mean, the wheels are in motion. You know, the book of Daniel, Isaiah have prophesied it, the book of Revelation. You know, and people will look at you like, you know, what are you, a nut? Well, it's been prophesied, and there's really not much we can do. It's all in God's hand, but until then, until that final time comes, you know, like Cal said, we got Islam on the defensive. People are starting to wake up and understand. You know, it's just like, you know, I tell, like this big million American march they want to have on 9/11 here.
Yeah.
You know, and now they're saying
the million Muslim march. Yeah, they changed that to the million American march now,
eh? And now they're saying there's more and more motorcycle groups, organizations that will be down there that day. And somebody said, will they need a permit?
I talked about that. I talked about that on Monday on the show, and I played a clip from the Jimmy Z show, and he made some sense. And I kind of have to agree with what Jimmy Z said in that, you know, it's all well and good that we get there, but the bikers, they weren't granted permits. They're not going to get anywhere near the Muslims. They're not going to get anywhere near them. It's what we should really be doing is that we should be rallying the Christians and going there and standing around and praying for their souls, because the Muslims, as we know, they're going to hell because they believe in a false prophet. They believe in an evil entity. The Muslims, they're going to hell. If we have a million Christians show up instead and just pray for their souls, that might be much more effective. But the bikers, I mean, I love the idea and I love the approach, but they're not going to get anywhere near the Muslims. They're going to stand, you know, they're going to stand there outside the gates.
Don't you think it's good to
police
protest,
won't let them
though,
near them.
Girl, you know, to oppose.
I understand
I mean,
the
even
sentiment,
if you don't get near the group of the, you know, these Muslims that are there for the day, that they can oppose. I mean, to actually oppose what they're doing.
I mean, I certainly understand the stance, and I applaud the bikers for that.
Yeah.
I applaud them. But they're not going to get anywhere near the Muslims, because the Muslims have a permit to get up there in Washington, and they have the permit to lift their asses in the air and pray to Allah and you know, and talk about Sharia and this and that and the other thing. And the bikers will be essentially helpless because they don't have a permit. Therefore, the police won't let them near the Muslims.
They can't
they
stop
can surround
them, from
them
riding around, though.
Get the wagons. Surround them, they're 2 million.
I mean, if they can get that many down there, they can't stop them from driving on the streets of Washington, D.C., playing the tourist thing and just revving up their motors just to, just, you know, drown them out. I mean, this is sad and pathetic. I mean, you know, it's just like, you know, those of us that understand things, when they have a conquest, when the Muslims conquer something, they automatically put up a mosque here and there on their conquered grounds, as they did in Spain and through southern Europe and the Kosovo region. Now, here it is, 9/11's coming up, the 12th anniversary of it, and now they're insulting America and American patriots and people around the world who lost somebody or whose nationality was there, who was slaughtered by these pigs, and now they're walking down the street and they're smacking us in the face still because of political correctness.
Yeah, absolutely.
Agreed.
And
that
you know
what?
I am down to my last 10 minutes.
Good grief,
I am telling you, this has been fascinating. Jim, I'm so sorry that you had problems phoning in. I got a message from Blog Talk Radio saying that people calling in, they're having issues. When I saw Jeff call in, I was grateful, and I saw you, I was double grateful, of course. I am so sorry that you both fine gentlemen had to wait until so late into the program to call in, but I have enjoyed this immensely. I would like both of you, if you can, to join me next Friday. I know, Jeff, I know it's really late for you, but if you have a little bit of a pish and vinegar in you, if you can join me in the second hour, and Jim, you as well, next Friday, so that we can have a proper round table.
Oh, definitely.
I love it.
And like I said, to everybody that's listening out there, go to military.com and check out the videos of this so-called religion of peace, how they gunned down the Alawites. They're three truck drivers making a living. And like I said, just go to those videos there. And also, go to YouTube and punch in Barry Maguire, Eve of Destruction.
Oh,
it was done in 1964.
Yes, that is brilliant. I have
1964.
Seen that.
And I got it on my Facebook page, too. I mean, what a great song. And it fits what's going on right now. So, look, Kel, I'll let you go. Jeff, I hope to talk to you next Friday.
Yeah, Jim, it's always a pleasure to hear you call in, and it's always great to talk to you. And Kel, it's always a pleasure. I'm sorry that you've had your issues tonight, but
we
rolled with it, didn't we, Kel? You roll with it.
We certainly do, Jeff. Oh,
and
Jim, I will be in touch with you on Facebook, and Jeff, of course, you as always.
And Jeff,
let
the people over in
England
know.
Can hear you. Tell people where they can hear your show.
You can hear the show on Blog Talk Radio. It's the East Anglians EDL radio show. Thursdays, Fridays, and Sundays, 8:30 p.m. GMT time. That's 3:30 Eastern Central Time. Is
Enter,
it?
Eastern Standard.
I'm in sorry about that, guys. Thank you very much, Kel.
I'm still at work at those hours. But like I said,
Jim.
let your group over there know that there's a Bostonian there that stands with you guys over there in England against the curse of the Muslims.
Oh, God bless you, Jim. And, you know, we know we got support from the world. You know, we've been doing within the English Defence League. I mean, with the political correctness, and, you know, there's sometimes people just get say enough's enough with all this crap, and time for the people to make a stand. But anyway,
and I just wanted to let people know as well that Jeff is on Blog Talk Radio, but he is also the official radio station of the English Defence League. So if you Google EnglishDefenseLeague.org and go to radio station, you can catch all of Jeff's programs there in archive, or you can visit there live and join us all in the chat room, just so that people know, Jeff.
Kel, can I just interject just before you wrap the show? The English Defence League, they've got a new website, and it's going to be called, it's up and running, I haven't checked it out, www.EnglishDefenseLeague.org. Net. It's not all. It's
oh,
a
okay.
Net.
You know what?
So
send me the link so that I can update it in my blog.
All right.
We'll do, Kel. I will do. I'll Skype. We'll Skype.
We'll Skype. A perfect date, husband.
Bless you. And you, Jim. It's been
okay, Jeff.
Jim,
we'll talk to you soon. Kel, we'll talk to you later then, okay?
And,
good night, everyone.
And,
Good night,
Jim. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you next week.
Definitely.
Good
okay.
Night,
take
God
care, everyone. Bye bye.
You too. And Jeff, you as well. Thank you so very much for being here. I so much appreciate that. And I will be Skyping with you very soon. I want the new updates on the new website for the English Defense League so I can put it in my chat room. Ladies and gentlemen, I am fresh out of time. I want to thank you all for being here, but I also want to remind you that Holger Awakens, Saturday, September 7th, 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Please be there.
On Saturday, September 7th, at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, As we near the 12th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks on America by Islamic jihadis, The Awakening Show on Blog Talk Radio will discuss Islam as never before heard on Blog Talk Radio. That evening, the war on Islam will begin. This is no war on terror. This is no war on a few radicals. This is war on Islam itself. Join Holger Awakens on Saturday, September 7th, as he remembers 9/11 and speaks to the vengeance still owed to the American people, and more importantly, as the war on Islam begins, the way it should be declared and the way it should be waged. Islam, Galenta, Est.
So try to be there, ladies and gentlemen. And before I do go, I want to remind you, Radio Jihad Network, they have shows 7 days a week. And tonight, they have the Global Faith Institute show, and that is with Dr. Mark Christian and Corey Miller. Dr. Mark Christian, he's a former Egyptian Muslim imam who converted to Christianity, and they work very closely together, Dr. Mark Christian and Corey Miller. Corey Miller is also part of the Global Faith Institute. Join them tonight, 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Believe me, wealth of knowledge and very warm, friendly fellas. They have the greatest chat room going. I want to thank you all for joining me tonight. I really do appreciate you. I am so sorry for all the technical glitches. Some people could not hear the show. Some people had to leave. I had a full chat room. People were trying to get back in, and they were being met with a message that, login failure. Jim, who was to join me after the first break, he could not get in at all. By next Friday, I hope to have this cleared up, and I'm really looking forward to having a roundtable with both Jeff and Jim. That should be a fantastic show. And we'll probably pick up a little more on what's going on in Syria. Like I say, I didn't want to delve too deeply into it, but, oh, boy, it is what it is, right? Ladies and gentlemen, everybody who is with me tonight and everybody who listens in archive, I really do thank you. I'm so appreciative. I'm glad that you joined me on my humble little show here twice a week, Mondays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and, of course, Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You are the best. Remember, it's mass Islamity. We have to stop the insanity. Now, you guys go out there. You have a great weekend. And for my Canadian listeners, have a great long weekend, and please behave yourselves. Good night, everybody.